is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. It's Monday, January 13th. I'm Bridget Bergen, filling in for Brian Lehr. On Friday, we got our first clues about the next steps in the impeachment timeline. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that she would send the articles to the Senate this week, most likely after conferring with her Democratic caucus members at their Tuesday morning meeting. Still, no word on who she'll choose as impeachment managers to present the House's evidence to the Senate, in part because who to send depends on what the rules of the trial are, and those haven't been written yet. With reports out now that some moderate Republican senators are working behind the scenes to make sure they hear from witnesses, the Speaker has not all the details, but just a little more information to help her choose the best of her caucus to make the case. And another thing to consider, the five senators on the campaign trail, including frontrunners Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, they'd have to be in the Senate for the duration of the trial and at a crucial moment just before the Iowa caucuses. Joining me now is Heather Cagle. She covers Congress for Politico. Hi, Heather. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Heather, based on what we've learned about Speaker Pelosi's plans, what can we now expect in terms of the timeline?
Well, so Pelosi, as you said, announced her plans on Friday and said she instructed House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler to prepare a resolution to put on the floor this week, which gives us some indication. Her senior aides then followed up, because the letter wasn't that clear. If it was on the floor this week, does that mean they would send the articles over this week? And her aides followed up and said, yes, the articles will be sent over to the Senate this week, allowing them to begin the trial. Now, Pelosi didn't reveal who she plans to pick as impeachment managers, but she does have meetings with her leadership team tonight, starting around 5:30, and then she'll meet with the full caucus behind closed doors around 9 a.m. tomorrow. And so we should have some indication within the next 24 hours of which Democrats she plans to pick to serve as the impeachment managers, who are essentially the prosecutors in this trial. And that'll give us an indication of how they're planning to build their case based on who she picks. And if they send the articles over on tomorrow, if they put them on the floor and pass the resolution, the trial could feasibly begin as soon as Wednesday. But there is some housekeeping things to work out in the Senate that mean that an actual trial probably won't really get underway in terms of the defense making its case, the prosecution making its case. Those things probably won't get underway in earnest until next week.
And Heather, what are those housekeeping things that might slow things down a little bit?
Well, you know, there's a rules package to be passed that governs the rules of the trial, the framework, the blueprint, essentially, how many hours each side gets to present their case, if they're going to call witnesses, request documents, things like that. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the Minority Leader Chuck Schumer over the holiday break were kind of talking about trying to come to some bipartisan agreement governing the trial, like they did in the Clinton impeachment trial. They had a bipartisan framework that passed unanimously, but they couldn't get to that agreement because Schumer and other Democrats wanted to request documents and witnesses that the White House had been blocking from the House investigation. They wanted McConnell to request those up front and incorporate those into the trial. And, you know, McConnell refused, and he came out last week and said, I have the votes on my side, the Republican side, to pass whatever framework we want, and we're going to do it under the Clinton impeachment trial. We're going to go with that framework, which means that documents and witnesses could be requested, but at a later date after both sides present their opening arguments.
So, you know, certainly rules remain the sticking point, and since Pelosi is likely not won't see them before she has to pick these impeachment managers, do you have a sense of what she's been watching for on the other side of the Capitol to help her make her decision?
Yeah, I think, you know, she has looked at the Clinton impeachment trial and how that went down. In that instance, there were 13 Republican House managers that were picked to serve as the prosecutors, including Senator Lindsey Graham, who is still in the Senate. And now what I'm hearing from her office and from allies that are close to her is that she's going to pick probably a smaller number. We shouldn't expect something around a dozen. It will probably be more like five or six. They're going to be lawmakers that are very close to her and that she trusts to present this case to the public under the understanding that if they aren't allowed to call further witnesses like former National Security Advisor John Bolton, or if they don't get other documents that they've been asking for, who within her caucus is best positioned to present the current case that they have? And so we should expect Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler will likely be one of those, but also House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, who really led this investigation over the last several months, and he's very close to Pelosi. And then I think out of the four or five other spots that she'll probably fill, she's been looking around the caucus and really wants to highlight the diversity of her caucus, and not just people of color or things like that, but people of different backgrounds, different experience. So for instance, we could see maybe someone like freshman Val Demings, who was on the Judiciary Committee, the Intelligence Committee. She's a former police chief. People like that who you may not necessarily expect automatically, but who would also do a very good job as a prosecutor in her eyes.
So interesting. Heather, it sounds like there's this potential that, you know, the American public may be introduced to a member who, as you're describing, we might not be that familiar with, and this may be a huge moment for them to sort of be part of history. Is that, you know, is that a fair way to describe it?
Yeah, no, I think so. Absolutely. My colleague and I, we wrote a story about a month ago when we looked at who were the names being floated about, you know, to be potential impeachment managers. And we went and talked to Senator Lindsey Graham to ask him, because at the time, again, he was in the House, and to ask him what kind of experience this was and how it, you know, what impact it had on his long-term career. And he told us, he said, you know, this was really a game changer. You're in the spotlight. Everyone is paying attention to you. The pressure is very high, you know, and it can make you a household name, which in politics can make or break you down the road. But it's also like, you know, you realize the history of the moment that you're in, and you try to take that very seriously and kind of look around. And he said he tried to remember every part of it, of being on the Senate floor, of presenting this case and things like that. So yes, I definitely agree that that's in the back of people's minds as they kind of jostle for this position.
So, and also some news over the weekend that you actually retweeted from a local paper in Bangor, Maine. Apparently, Senator Susan Collins, a moderate Republican for Maine, is working behind the scenes with a handful of her fellow Republican senators to ensure there are enough votes to call witnesses in the trial. So for them to make the decision to try to, I guess, outmaneuver their own caucus, what do you think the political calculus is there?
Well, I think, you know, Democrats had been hoping that moderate senators, especially those in tough races next or this year, like Susan Collins, would side with them in their request to call these witnesses up front, particularly John Bolton, who had refused to testify in the House impeachment investigation. He's a key witness, probably the biggest witness other than maybe the president himself that we have yet to hear from in the Ukraine scandal. And then last Monday, he kind of rattled everyone's cages on the Hill when he sent this letter and said, if the Senate calls me to testify, I will do so, even if the White House tells me not to, because I have things to say and I think they're important. And so I think Chuck Schumer and other Democrats had hoped that Republicans like Collins, like Lisa Murkowski and Mitt Romney and others would join with them and force McConnell to agree to call some of these witnesses up front. Now, they didn't do that. They said that they're going to stick with McConnell and proceed and allow the opening statements to go forward. And I think Democrats were very disheartened by this news last week. But when the Susan Collins news came out over the weekend, there was kind of this ray of hope for Democrats that all is not lost, and maybe we will be able to hear from some of these key witnesses, even if it's just one, even if it's just Bolton. And so I think that's important, and that will probably cause some internal Republican tensions as the trial plays out, if Senator Collins is able to convince enough of her Republican colleagues to join with Democrats and kind of force these witnesses down the road. And it could also prolong the trial into February if you're, you know, making these efforts. And that, of course, impacts the Democratic primaries, as you mentioned at the top. So
a lot to consider in terms of what's happening there. Heather, I want to talk to you a little bit about the role of the impeachment manager and how our listeners can understand what that role is and what it isn't. Using sort of a courtroom analogy, there are prosecutors that make a case when a crime has been committed, and it's, you know, here's this guy, he did that, and here's the evidence. I think we've all watched enough procedural crime shows to understand what a prosecutor does. So I want to understand what's different about an impeachment manager. You know, what rules are they bound by? What extra leeway are they granted? What makes them different from the prosecutor that we're used to seeing on these crime shows?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and one that we're all asking ourselves this week, because as I mentioned earlier, the framework for the trial has yet to be published. McConnell has said that he's going to work under the Clinton impeachment trial framework, but he hasn't put out a draft, which is what Speaker Pelosi was demanding. She wanted to see that. He hasn't put out a draft that outlines exactly what he means. And what I mean by that is how many hours each side, the defense and the impeachment managers, aka the prosecution, will get to present their case. You know, in the Clinton trial, the impeachment managers were able to provide their opening case over a period of 3 days, right? Well, these impeachment managers get the same amount of time. And Pelosi's argument has been that, you know, this trial framework will impact who she picks for the job. The other question that's up in the air is, will the prosecution be allowed to play video clips, clips of Mick Mulvaney, the acting chief of staff for the White House, at his press conference a few months ago, basically telling people to get over it, that they withheld the aid, or, you know, clips from several of these key witnesses testifying and offering what the Democrats deem incriminating evidence against President Trump, things like that. So all of those details have yet to be worked out, whereas in a criminal trial, I mean, a lot of that is already established just by the rules of law, right? You know, so that is where it is different, and that's why who Pelosi picks could determine how Democrats' case goes and how they feel about it after this.
Let's take a moment and switch to the Republican side, Heather. There has been some discussion about whether to send some of the president's most vocal defenders, like Mark Meadows, Matt Gaetz, Doug Collins, to help with Trump's defense. What's on the table there at this point?
I think, you know, that still hasn't been firmly decided. I think President Trump has these folks in his ear. They're definitely the most outspoken in the Republican caucus. They're some of the president's biggest defenders. They're not afraid to kind of cause a scene, so to speak, to get a point across. And President Trump certainly likes that. He likes these made-for-TV moments. He likes things that captured the cable news attention and things like that. And so he has been hearing from them, and they are the one, they're telling him, hey, we could really make this case for you in a way that others aren't going to. You know, we are your biggest defenders, put us on this team. But these Republicans, these House Republicans, are getting strong pushback from some in the White House and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his leadership team, who are afraid that they would kind of turn this into a circus and prolong it and get attention on the impeachment trial for all the wrong reasons, and would actually hurt President Trump's case more than they help it. And so until the trial actually starts, you know, these discussions are ongoing. And as you and all the listeners know, President Trump is very unpredictable and can often change his mind, you know, at the last minute when things seem very settled, not just on this, but on all kinds of things. And so I don't want to rule out these members being appointed to the defense team. But right now, it seems to be the argument that let his legal counsel in the White House, who have been leading the charge so far, take the lead here. That seems to be winning out right now.
And Heather, as you just said, you know, President Trump does have a tendency to change his mind on issues. You know, just this morning, there are stories about how he, instead of calling for the full trial, is just calling for the charges to be dismissed. I'm wondering, what is the reaction you're hearing in Washington to that today?
Well, I think Republicans are a little nervous about this. And they're honestly, everyone on the Hill is used to President Trump tweeting one thing and then within hours can sometimes change his mind and tweet another thing. And if you approach Republicans on Trump's tweets, they'll often just brush them off and say, I don't read his tweets, or something like that, you know. And so I think that they think that this trial will move forward, and they're not, I don't want to say they're not taking him seriously, but they think that they can talk to him and convince him of the merits of having this trial. And again, I mean, a lot of Republicans are uncomfortable with the idea of just dismissing it, especially with Democrats like Speaker Pelosi saying, if you dismiss it, you're, you know, engaging in a cover-up. Why wouldn't you at least hear the case out before you decide? And I don't think that Senator McConnell even has the votes on his side to dismiss the case right now because of those moderate Republicans like Senator Susan Collins, who do want to hear the case and do want to look at calling witnesses and making their own judgment, and on and on. So,
Nick in Brooklyn, welcome to WNYC. What's your question about impeachment?
Hi, thanks. You're doing a great job, by the way, filling in for a giant.
Thanks, Nick. Much appreciated.
I'm confused as to why John Bolton has become the center of attention, where I feel like the idea of subpoenaing, forcing Giuliani to answer a subpoena has kind of gone up in smoke. And he's the guy who was really at the center of this whole thing. So I'm wondering if anything, you know, could happen with that.
So, Heather, has there been any reporting as to where the president's lawyer at this point, Rudy Giuliani, fits in this process?
I mean, that's a great question. Obviously, Rudy Giuliani is at the heart of this investigation, and there was some discussion late last year of Senator Graham, who chairs the Judiciary Committee, of calling Giuliani to testify and give his own testimony. But there's also a fear on both sides, both Republicans and Democrats in the Senate, of what Giuliani might say and how forthcoming and truth-telling he'll actually be. Over the last few months, we've seen Giuliani kind of tell several different versions of stories, saying he was acting on behalf of the president, he was doing this at the behest of the president, and then when pressed on that, he would later say, essentially, I was freelancing, I was doing what I thought was best for the president, but he wasn't the one who was telling me to do this specifically in Ukraine. So we've heard several different versions of things from Giuliani, and Giuliani also sometimes has a tendency to also want to be a showman, and I think Democrats and Republicans have said privately on both sides that they're kind of afraid of opening up that Pandora's box because they're not sure what they're going to get. So it is possible there could be a push to call him, but I think there is hesitance on both sides.
So then let's shift back to something that we talked about at the top of the segment, a little bit about how this process plays into the Democratic primary. There are five senators in the running, two of whom, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, are front runners for the Democratic nomination. So they would have to come off the campaign trail for the Senate trial, right?
Yes, absolutely. Under the Senate rules for an impeachment trial, they're in 6 days a week, so Saturdays. Too, they get Sundays off, and the Senate very rarely works beyond Thursday past 2 p.m. They come in Monday about 3:30, they leave Thursday about 2:30. So this schedule would be dramatically different from the one that they keep. But as you said, it would also really impact these candidates, particularly Warren and Sanders, in the run-up to Iowa caucuses, which is February 3rd, and then even possibly the New Hampshire primary, which is the next week. These are both states that are, you know, used to seeing these campaign visits and people drop in, presidential candidates coming to their house, coming to their businesses, shaking their hands, a lot of one-on-one contact. And often that's what these voters base, you know, their support on. Did I meet you? Did I like you? Things like that. It's just a much different dynamic than most of the other states who don't have these first in the nation primaries. And so there is a real fear among supporters of these two candidates that them not being able to be on the trail when Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg are out there doing this retail politics, that it could impact them negatively, and that could really slow their momentum going forward.
We talk a lot about the weight of history and this historic moment. What are you hearing from your Democratic sources about how they are squaring the weight of this impeachment against the importance of the election?
I think you see that in their statements. They, when you ask the Sanders and Warren and Klobuchar and the others about it, and you also ask their supporters, no one wants to come right out and say, yeah, I would rather be in Iowa campaigning because I want to win the presidential nomination, right? Like, that would sound very crass and also would seem like they're not taking their role as a senator seriously and could negatively impact them. So most of the candid opinions that you hear about this are certainly when people are granted anonymity because they don't want to come out and seem like they're not taking it seriously. I do think, you know, that there's no doubt that every senator that's sitting in this body looks at this. And at this point, it's, for most, I mean, it's a once in a generation event, right? This is the third impeachment trial that we've ever had in the history of the U.S. So it's, I think everyone sees the importance of it, but also most people on both sides think that there's a predetermined outcome and that Republicans will vote to acquit him. And so I think a lot of people on both sides are looking down the road to November 2020 and they're like, knowing the outcome of this trial is like what the likely outcome is, how can we best shape this to benefit our reelection chances and our efforts to take back the White House if you're Democrats, or to keep the White House if you're Republicans. And no one wants to really talk about that openly, but that is kind of where everyone's mindset is, given that the outcome is not really a mystery to most people at this point.
Heather Cagle covers Congress for Politico. Heather, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, if you have impeachment questions, call them in, leave us a voicemail, and you might get to hear it on the show and get an answer from one of our esteemed guests. Give us a call and record your message. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-8255. Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from WNYC's live daily news talk show, The Brian Lehrer Show, which we also encourage you to listen to every day from 10 a.m. to noon. You can stream it live at WNYC.org. I'm Bridget Bergen, filling in for Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll have more tomorrow.